Brother Bill had asked me to speak on the missionary work tomorrow. And he said then, yesterday I think it was, I got a text, could you talk a little this afternoon too? Or at least put part of it forward today. And that's well and good. But I've struggled with this because those of you who know me, you know I can talk about Malawi and different places for hours and never really wind down. But the Lord laid something on my heart about it this year, and I'm not sure why, because I don't think it's been an issue. But it seems like what we always have to do when you're going to go somewhere like it is you have to ask for money. And I hate that. I hate asking for money. But you have to have a little when you go, and you know I'm not rich by any stretch of the imagination. And somebody said one time, well, why do you need to take so much money when you go? Well, I'll just ask you. If you're at an assembly this afternoon, and a little woman walks up, and she's got a wheelchair that the wheel is getting ready to fall off of, and she has absolutely no way in the world to fix it, and it's going to cost her $10, which is a year's salary, what are you going to do? Are you going to tell her, I'm sorry, honey? Or are you going to find $10 to give her? Now repeat that. Repeat that every day, day in and day out, multiple times. And that's what it's like over there. It just, you have to have something when you go or you feel like you're awful. And who wouldn't? Who wouldn't feel bad when you see your brothers and sisters in Christ? But then I come back and I talk to different people and I hear different people talk. And they say, you know, they've been poor forever. I'm sure God's punishing them for something. Yeah, all I have to say to somebody like that is watch what you're saying. Watch what you're saying because you don't know God's mind. And it's true, God does punish people. He punished Israel. He punished all kinds of folks over the years. But He also lets a lot of people be poor. Did you know that? I got to studying it out. You know, at work they got a saying that says, tell me and I'll forget it. Show me and I'll kind of remember it. But if you involve me, I will understand it. And that really is what we need to do with the Word of God. If you want to understand it, you have to look at it and dig into it and let it speak to you more than just a cursory reading or letting somebody else tell you about it or letting somebody else talk about it. You don't learn that much. You learn when you involve yourself with the Word of God. And I've heard people over the years, you know, they'll say, well, why don't you dig your own wells? Well, anybody that says that doesn't know anything about digging wells in their climate. Because you have to dig. You have to dig when it's dry. You have to dig deep. You have to pump out and go deeper than what the water actually is. There is a myriad of things involved with digging a well. You cannot dig a well with a shovel. You probably can over here. You know, I was out mowing the yard the other day. And I drove past this. I was on my little zero turn. It wasn't running real good, so... Yeah, that's a common thing. I was zipping around there and I got next to the edge of the weeds and there was a raspberry and I stuck that thing off there. Woo, that was sweet and good. And there's raspberries all along there. You know what? Birds are going to eat them because Ronnie don't like getting stuck. So I'll eat one now and then. I'll eat them as it grooves by. But you know what? You'll never find anything like that over there. I was thinking about that. Every season, every week, there's something in my yard I could eat if I was hungry enough to have to do it. And I've been in places in Malawi, up towards Tanzania, and different places in compounds in the middle of the night with $5,000 in my pocket, and I can't buy a bologna sandwich because there ain't nothing there. Nothing. Even if they had it, I don't know if they'd sell it to you because they'd want it. You know, there comes a point when money is worthless. I don't know if you realize that or not. But we live in a land where, oh, it's king. No, it comes to a point where you can't buy doodly with money because there's nothing there. You ever drive around some Sunday afternoon for an hour and a half hunting half a bag of corn? Done that. Somebody surely had one for sale at the next town. Because the old boy I was with hadn't had nothing to eat in over a week. They're going to buy him a bag of corn. He's going to go home, smash that up, and boil it up, and think he's got something. It's sad. And you think about it, why is it like that? Why is it like that year after year after year after year? And so I got to studying it, and I learned some things. I'm going to share them with you today. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 7 says, "The Lord maketh poor and he maketh rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength," that's the part I want you to get, "for by strength shall no man prevail." I put to you this afternoon that you are a wealthy person. You probably don't realize that, but you are. And I will put to you that you have very little to do with that. You said, "Well, I worked all my life." Yes, you have. But somebody gave you a job, or you wouldn't have worked all your life. Somebody gave you something to get you started. Somebody to this day gives most of us a check, or we wouldn't have nothing. Think about that. The Lord says, "By strength shall no man prevail." I'll put up who I want to put up, and I'll put down who I want to put down. That's my decision. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's. But I want you to listen to what he said in Isaiah 41. "When the poor and the needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them." There's poor people all over the world. And you know what? Eventually, they always get a little bit about what they need. Because God said, "I'm not going to forsake them. I'm not going to do it." There's poor everywhere. Poor everywhere. Proverbs 14:31. "He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor." You know that? You honor God, you have mercy on poor people. Proverbs 17:5. "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished." Well, that just takes us a step further, doesn't it? This is what he said in Proverbs 29:7. He said, "The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it." How many people would know like that? "Yeah, I don't hear about it. Ain't nothing I can do. I don't hear about it. Ain't nothing I can do about it." The wicked regard not to know it. In Acts 10:34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted by him." In every nation, if you follow after God, if you work with God, if you look to God, he will respect that. You don't have to be just here. It doesn't have to be just the U.S. or just wherever. It's everywhere. God doesn't respect persons. He doesn't respect national borders. He doesn't respect any of that junk. We're their brothers and sisters in Christ. When I go there and I go to the baptism and they start singing, you know, I don't understand what they're saying because they're singing in Chichewa, but I knew the tune. "One step at a time, dear Savior." Same thing we try to sing on the bank. Nobody knows words to. Because that's the only time we sing it. When we're at a baptism. "One step at a time. Go and sing it. Sing it for the person coming out of the water." I've heard it. Heard it. It's the same everywhere you go, people. It's the same. 1 Corinthians 19:29 says, "It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. It's not about what you've got. It's not about what you have. It's not about how great and mighty you are, how much you know. Ain't got anything in the world to do with it. It's about Christ and Him crucified. That's it. That's it. You heard that song? I've heard that song. I don't know, man. It's all about the cross. And that's the truth. It is all about the cross. It's not about who's wise, who's got the most money, who's got the biggest car. Ain't nothing about none of that. It doesn't have anything to do with God. If He lets you have it, that's great. But if He didn't, that's great too. But we all got Christ. I want you to think about this for a minute. I was going to use the thing, but I didn't want you reading it. I want to take you through it a little bit slower than most of you want to read. If you want to, you can close your eyes and promise not to go to sleep. And I'm going to ask you to do a little exercise with me. And I did this, and it shocked me how close it came. Okay? I want you to think about this. Take all the furniture out of your home, except for one table, a couple of chairs, and some blankets for bedding. Okay, so in your mind, I want you to do that. I want you to take all the furniture out of your house. Keep a table. Okay, keep some blankets, stuff like that. Keep a couple of chairs if you want to. That's okay. You can keep stuff. Okay, then I want you to take all your clothing, except for your one oldest dress or your one oldest suit, shirt or blouse, one pair of shoes, and get rid of everything else. Okay? You with me? I want you to take the pantry and the refrigerator, and I want you to toss them both. Okay? I want you to keep a little bit of bag of flour, a little bit of sugar and salt. You can keep a few potatoes if you want to. We live in a land of plenty. Keep two or three onions, and maybe a plate of dried beans. Okay, the rest of it's got to go. It's gone. Think about that. Take apart your bathroom. Dismantle that. You don't need a bathroom. Shut off the water. While you're at it, take all the electrical wiring out of your house, because you don't need that either. Okay? Then, you know what? Go ahead and just get rid of the house and go to the tool shed. And we'll use that for a house. Okay, then I want you to place your house in the worst part of the neighborhood that you can think of. Call it a shanty town or whatever. Then I want you to cancel all the subscriptions you've ever had to newspapers, magazines, book clubs, all your books, all your pretty things like that. Just throw them away, because you know what? You can't read anyway. I want you to take one radio. I'm going to let you keep some electronics. Keep one radio for about every five or six houses. So you're going to share. Throw away your bank book, your stock certificates, and your pension plan, your 401k, and your retirement, and your insurance policies, and all the cash you got except for maybe $10. That's all you get to keep. $10. Okay? The nearest hospital is probably 10 miles away. You say, well, it's further than that now. Well, that's all well and good, except we're not going to have a car. And guess what? There are no doctors there anymore. There's one nurse. Doctor come by once a month or so, if you're lucky. Give the head of the family 3 or 4 acres. Let him farm that. Let him do the best he can with that 3 or 4 acres. That's all he got. That's all you're going to get. It may have well on it, may not. It may rain, it may not. When you raise it, give a third of it to the guy that owns the land, because it's not you. Give a little bit to the money lender, because you borrowed money. And then what you need to do, if you're expecting to live and be 75, you just figure 50 is about the end of the road. And you know what I just described to you? When I took all that away from you, I just got you down where the other 90% of the people in this world are living. And I can tell you that that describes 90% of our brothers and sisters in Malawi. And you'll never find a bunch of happier people in your life. Take my picture. Take my picture. I love it. They did not need to wait. They want the picture to. There was one little old lady. I didn't understand what she was saying. She said, she just, and guy was with us said, you got to wait a minute. And she ran into the house, you know, and she'd gone a little bit. She come running back out. She stood up there to get her picture took with her husband, you know, and I took her picture of her and her husband, you know, like that. I said, where'd she go? He said, she wanted to change her shoes. Bless her heart, I didn't know. I took a picture of her shoes, but I know she had 2 pairs. She was styling and profiling. But that's the way it is. So, you know, when, and I know it gets old, it gets tiring. It really does. I knew a guy over there, I kid you not, he lives here. I'm not going to tell you who he is. I wasn't with him when it happened. He was in a meeting, and the brothers were coming up. We sure would like to have a roof for our building. We sure would like to have plastic paper for our building. We sure would like to have 10 Bibles. You know, we sure would like to have 2 or 3 songbooks if you can spare them. You know, and that's what you get. You just get that all down there. Where you go? Just a long line of them. And he's like, he just slammed everything he had down. And he said, you ain't nothing but a bunch of beggars. And he said, I'm sick of it. They don't want him to come back anymore. Well, I don't blame him. But I don't blame him either. Because it gets tiring. It gets old hearing it. And I know the people here get tired. And they're like, why can them people not do better after all these years? I don't know. I don't know. I just know that God likes poor people, and He made a bunch of them. And we are very, very fortunate. I told one of them over there one time, I said, I'm not rich. And he laughed out loud at me. And you know what? He's right. Not by your standards, I'm not. But by his, man, I'm Rockefeller. I got lights and water and a car and gas and money in my pocket and I'm fat. Guy called me fat first time I got mad at him. He said, hey, fat boy. I'm like, you know, you could take that back. He said, no. He said, that's a compliment. And I'm like, yeah, well, whatever. We'll talk about that later. But it's the truth. It's the truth because I've got plenty to eat and they don't. Something to think about. I want you to think about it. That's all I'm asking this afternoon. I want you to think about on the night of Jesus' birth, where was he born? He was born in Bethlehem, Judea, right? A little bit of town, 6 miles from Jerusalem. Out of the boonies, out of the sticks. Okay, when the hosts of heaven appeared, they glorified God and they pronounced peace and goodwill on the earth. Who did they pronounce it to? Remember? Shepherds. poorest people in the planet. People, shepherds out in the field at night. Did he announce it at Rome? Nope. Announced it at Jerusalem? Nope. Did he announce it to the wise men? Well, in a roundabout way, but not that night. It was made exclusively to poor people. Do you realize that? The announcement of Jesus' birth, the Son of God, made flesh, come down to earth, the answer of thousands of years of prophecy. Only poor people knew about it. Only poor people. That's what God wanted. What does that tell us? It tells us the rich people can't say, well, you know, you're poor, you don't deserve Christianity. No. Don't think so. Don't think so. You say, well, they didn't want Herod to know. He didn't want the Roman Empire to know. You know how long it takes God to smack down the Roman Empire? You know how long it takes God to smack down the United States? Probably his next breath. Poor people are important to God. He has made it very clear. Hearken, my beloved brethren, James 7:5. Has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Hath not God chosen the poor? Yeah, I can tell you he has. When we were poor, we went to church more. When we was poor, we didn't run around all over God's creation. And the buildings were full when there was church. We was poor, we didn't have all them TVs and subscriptions to Netflix and smartphones and all that junk. So we went to the house of the Lord. And then people over there in Malawi, and then people in the Philippines, and the people in Mexico in the outlying areas, when the Lord tells them they got a chance of eternal life, they line up. Yes, sir, I'll take it. We're like, yeah, I'll get back with you in a little bit. I got something I need to go do. Do we see the point? You see the point I'm trying to make? I know it. I don't want to be a downer. But I want us to understand, don't grow weary in well-doing either. Don't let yourself get caught up in the fact that, well, you know, I've helped all I can help, and I don't know what else there is I can do. No, you just keep helping. Remember this morning when Brother Bill read in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is, verse 20, he's talking about the stole, him that stole, let him steal no more, but let him labor with his hands working that he may have to give them that needeth. Not only did God want him to stop stealing, he wanted him to make money so he could give it to people. You understand? God wants us to give things to people. God wants us to help people. Yeah, I think it's a test, if you will, of our resolve. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, he came to Nazareth when he'd been brought up, as his custom was, speaking of Jesus now. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for a read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes." He didn't come to preach to the people in highfalutin places. He said he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Get rich people to sit down and listen. I dare you. We got churches in Bloomington. You know, the big thing now is, up in the, I don't know how it is down here, big thing up here is mega churches. Okay? Because a megachurch can serve you better. Okay, it can handle your kids over here. It can have coffee over here. And you can have a gymnasium, and you don't even need a membership to a gym. You can just go there and work out, and there's classes, and it's just wonderful. And they'll ask you, you know, what can we do to make it better for you? And what can we do? And they'll do all kinds of neat things for you. You know, they'll sing. You don't have to sing. They'll sing for you. You know, you can just sit there and just praise God every once in a while. Just praise. And most of them are old Pentecostal churches that just dropped the name because, you know, people didn't like the name Jesus involved with anything. So now they're Genesis, and Lifeway, and Emmanuel, all these wonderful places. But you know what they're missing? They're missing the gospel of Christ. I went one of them. I went on Thursday night. I'm not too proud to tell you. I like going to church. And I'll go anywhere. I don't matter to me. If it's not Sunday morning, I'll go. You know, because it's just church. I go to movies too. You know, you get on me for that if you want to. But I went to this one little church, and it was like, oh, they was just singing and preaching and going on. And he stopped. He talked for 15 minutes about giving. Oh, we got to get. We got so much we have to pay for. We've got ushers, and we've got a new parking lot, and we've got people we have to pay. The police come out and direct traffic. And we have to have money, and we got missions going on. We're trying to build a new church over in Singapore, and he did all this. Talk for that 15 minutes, I know. And then, oh yeah, if you want communion, it's down here on the side of the stage. And he's done. Yeah, if you want communion, it's down. And it was Thursday night or something anyway. I was like, wow. Just wow. That's the trend. That's what rich people want. They want to be entertained. They want it to be cool. They want them fancy lights and the flashing and the big words on the screens that tell them how to sing. They like all that stuff. They're not interested in the gospel. That was very evident to me that night. They were interested in all that stuff except the gospel of Christ. That they was kind of cool to. The poor of this world. He had chosen the poor. So I know Danny's getting ready to leave, Tony, and I'm sure they've asked. If they haven't asked, they've at least hinted that it'd be nice to have a little. I know Danny's getting where he just doesn't even want to ask anymore. And I know why. It's not because he thinks he can handle it all on his own. He probably could. But it's also because of the fact you feel self-conscious after you've asked so many times. You really do. You're like, man, they're going to think I'm kind of a beggar. Going to the constable. Wanting something. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do? Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. I'll tell you the answer the early apostles found. I'll tell you the answer Peter found for it. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. When James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, I go along with that, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they into the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, which the same also I was forward to do. That was their only stipulation. Paul, you go on, talk to the Greeks, tell them all you want to tell them. I don't care. Tell the heathen, tell them all you want to tell them. Preach to them, travel, do all you need to. Just remember poor Christians. Remember back here in Jerusalem. And what did Paul do? Eyes on it. Man, I wanted to do that. I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to help. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. Paul doing it right here. He said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him the store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. On Sunday morning, when we give, I know you all know this, when we gave, the reason that giving was instituted was to help poor Christians. That is its primary, specific, firstborn duty, is to help the poor. Help the poor. Now I want you to listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul writing them back. As touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, and that Achaia was ready a year ago. And your zeal hath provoked very many. You guys have given so much, you are just tearing up people. Everybody and their brother want to give now. He said, yet I have sent my brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, that we say not ye, we, should we then be ashamed in this same confident boasting? Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. He was getting on them. I wrote to you and I told you what to do and you did it and that was great. And a lot of people started doing it because you did it. And I told the churches of Galatia what you've done and all, it's so great. But he said, nah, don't make me sorry I said all that. Come on, guys. God will take care of you. God will give it back to you. When you go out there and you sow, who do you think makes that seed grow? He said, you've got bountiful. You've been given bountifully. Who do you think give that to you? You think he can't give you more? Come on, man. Let's keep it up. Let's keep it up. Now, I don't want you doing it out of covetousness. That's what they do today. You know, send me $1,000 and the Lord will bless you. Yeah, right. Buy this prayer cloth and you'll get a check in the mail within a week. I said, no. God's not an angel. No. But he will bless you if you bless the poor. He will give it to the poor. What did Proverbs say? He give it to the poor, lend it to the Lord. And he'll be repaid. I don't know what to say other than the fact that I just felt like it was time to encourage us. It was time to say, you know, if those folks getting ready to go places don't ask, you need to offer. Because the Lord only knows how much work there is to be done. And we'll never get it all done. I've heard it described like, I heard one person get a little cynical, I think. It's like trying to empty the Pacific Ocean with a thimble. Well, maybe it is. But I'd rather be the poorest man in heaven than the richest man in hell. Leave a lesson with you. I'm sorry I took longer than I paid, but I just want to encourage you to keep on giving to the Lord. Keep on helping these folks as they do their things in Malawi and Philippines and Mexico and everywhere else that they get to go to help and to work. We need to try to help them all we can. Thank you.